cycling podcast Femina in association with Rafa. From grand tours to group rides, the Champs-Élysées to coffee stops, Rafa exists to celebrate the world's most beautiful sport.
You are listening to daily episodes of the cycling podcast Femina from OVO Energy Women's Tour, brought to you by Skoda. Dedicated to closing the gender gap in cycling, one race, one cyclist at a time, this is our time. Today, we are in Daventry.
Hello, my name is Richard Moore. I'm with Rose Manley.
Hiya, Richard.
And Orla Shinawi.
Hello, both.
Where are we, Orla?
We are in Daventry in Northamptonshire.
We are. Where specifically? We're outside the Courtyard Cafe, where we had lunch, and it's a delightful little cafe in the middle of Daventry, set back from the high street.
In a courtyard.
We popped out. We came here for lunch and popped out to see the race pass earlier. They did a sort of lap of Daventry, 2 times up Newnham Hill, where there was a lot of action. We're led to believe. And then we watched Corn Rivera sprint to a stage win ahead of Marianne Vos. You're going to give us your report, Orla, the definitive report of the stage. But first of all, we do have a bit of a corrections corner from last night, don't we?
Oh, just a bit, for goodness sake. Nothing to do with the racing, I should say. But yes, I got a bit excited with my Elgar reference, I have to say. Because the thing is, before we came here, I Googled famous English composers, and a few popped up that I was so chuffed about that I was going to get a chance to reference, and Elgar was one of them that I got a little bit overexcited yesterday and put him in 4 stages too early. So Edward Elgar is actually from stage 4, Worcestershire, not from wherever we were yesterday, Suffolk. So yesterday I should have played out with A Young Person's Guide to the Orchestra by Benjamin Britten, obviously.
Of course.
But I have to say, still that moment driving into Framlingham with Nimrod playing was quite lovely,
still
wasn't it?
Still a highlight for me.
And I have saved over a very nice Elgar piece for stage 4.
Oh, good.
All will be resolved. Today, Sir Malcolm Arnold, the composer of the score for Bridge Over the River Kwai. And I've got a few more that I'm going to sneak in as well.
Oh,
but there we go.
Excellent.
Until I'm corrected, of course, by everybody on Twitter.
Well, let's hear what happened in the race, please, Orla, if you could take it away.
Let's do it. So today was a 143.9-kilometre stage from Rushton to Daventry in Northamptonshire, in the home of Formula One here in Northamptonshire, among other things. The race going past Silverstone, where I passed my racing driver qualification, incidentally.
You haven't mentioned that at all today.
I haven't much, just the once. Anyway.
A full press room.
No, it was just in the team car park
when
earlier.
You say once, you mean you've been continuously talking about it all day. That counts as one reference.
Counts as one big chunky reference.
You've been wearing your motor racing shoes.
Well, I am. And actually, that was accidental. I forgot we were in Northamptonshire.
Might
and my racing shoes are incredibly comfy, so I put them on today. But it turns out that actually I got the geographical timing right for once. Who'd have thunk it? Anyway, it wasn't a particularly fast stage, but a great one. Plenty of action. Everything nicely shaken up. So first off, we had 2 very early intermediate sprints. The first one went to Corin Rivera of Team Sunweb, with Lotto Lopisto of Cervelo Bigla in second, and Amy Peters of Bowles Dolmans, who started the day with a points jersey, in third. Now, the first sprint was just 10 kilometres in. The second came at 18.5 kilometres, and that went to Danny Rowe of Wild Eels. She took the maximum points and the time bonus in that one. Corin Rivera was up there once again in second, and Marianne Vos, Rowe's Wild Eels teammate, in third. Now, almost immediately after that second immediate sprint, we had a very optimistic breakaway from 19-year-old Micah Bogard from BTC Ljubljana. She made her move 20 kilometres in, did a brilliant job for almost 70 kilometres, built up a lead of, we think, 2 minutes 45 at one stage. Bogard, just 19 years of age, a Dutch rider who was junior national time trial champion in 2016. So she was able to pace herself nicely, but caught at 89 kilometres with still another 55 to go. So at 92 kilometres, we had the first Queen of the Mountains. Christine Majerus of Bowles Dolmans, who started the day in the Queen of the Mountains jersey, took maximum points there, with Elisa Longo-Borghini of Wiggle High 5 second, and Kasia Niviadoma of Canyon SRAM in third. Now, the peloton started to string out coming up to Category 2 Newnham Hill, which you've just mentioned. That was for the second Queen of the Mountains. It came 2 kilometres before that first time through the finish line, before the start of that circuit. I might be wrong, but it seems like Elisa Longo-Borghini of Wiggle High 5, who finished first, and Kasia Niviadoma of Canyon Tram, who finished second, were a little bit ahead of Mariana Voss, who came third, and Danny Rowe, who finished just behind. But all four of those, we know, regrouped on the descent and came through the finish line here in Daventry for the first time in an elite group. Now, the race was well and truly split coming through here with 4 distinct groups out front, the rest of them drawn behind. Abby Van Twisk of Trek Drops, we saw really struggling at the very back of the race after her terrible crash later. She was riding in limbo, really, at that stage. Katie Archibald of Wiggle High 5 didn't manage to hang on, though. She was left high and dry, riding solo, pulled into the team car park in Daventry and dropping out after her bad crash yesterday. That was her first day of racing after breaking her collarbone at the Tour de Yorkshire. Her race now over. So that elite group of Rowe, Niviadoma, Voss and Longo-Borghini out front. They were caught by the reduced peloton, though, with almost 39 kilometres to go. And then the next bit of action, the third Queen of the Mountains, which came just over 2 kilometres from the end. We saw Elisa Longo-Borghini take the maximum points again, with Alina Amialusic of Canyon Shram second and Danny Rowe third ahead of Voss. Now, Longo-Borghini attacked on the descent. Ellen van Dijk of Team Sunweb attacked with Longo-Borghini and Rowe in the last kilometre, with Mariana Voss shouting at Rowe from behind to lead her out. Ellen van Dijk pushing the pace for Corinne Rivera. And at the finish line, it was knives out between Corinne Rivera and Mariana Voss. Very close to a photo finish, but it was okay. Computer not needed. Rivera just edged the win from Voss in the sprint into Daventry. Christine Madjeris of Bowles Dolmans coming in third. Voss absolutely devastated to be pipped in this sprint. Richard, you spoke to her afterwards. We'll hear from her shortly. But Wildey's really spinning plates all day, with Rowe and Voss going for the intermediate sprints and working hard to keep Mariana in position for the finish. An impressive day for them, I thought. So, after her intermediate sprint points, no surprises, Corinne Rivera is the new race leader, with Danny Rowe, who's riding a brilliant race so far, I think. She's one of my picks for the overall. She's 15 seconds behind. Mariana Voss third at 16 seconds, with the Bowles Dolmans pair of Amy Peters and Christine Madjeris in fourth and fifth at 17 and 19 seconds. Elisa Longo-Borghini, sixth place. So, some pre-race favourites a little way back. With defending champion Kasia Niviadoma 17th on 39 seconds. She said she's not going for the race win here. And world champion Chantal Black in 26th on 40 seconds. So Corinne Rivera also leads the points classification ahead of Mariana Voss. She heads the sprint classification ahead of Danny Rowe. Elisa Longo-Borghini now leads the Queen of the Mountains ahead of Christine Madjeris. Rowe is still the best rider of the day, and Micah Bogard wins the Combativity Award. So she was Kid A for the day. Now, I've already mentioned Kitty Archibald. One other notable DNF was Abby Van Twisk, unfortunately. She was caught up by the Karma Police in the end after her terrible crash yesterday. she was brave to even start the day. She didn't manage to finish. So let's hope she gets fitter, happier soon.
Oh, there my we go. Goodness. That was magnificent, Orla. I mean, it was a windy, blustery day, and Bogart was out front a lot of time on her own. But the roads were quite sheltered, weren't they? There were a lot of trees. Any fake plastic ones among them?
Not that we noticed. I'm not sure. They could have gone past garden centres, but we didn't get to see.
That is a little clue as to what you were doing in that race roundup. In Orla's Odyssey there, it was a Radiohead-inspired Odyssey, because Tom York of Radiohead is from this neck of the woods.
He's from Northamptonshire, I think, according to my research. Otherwise, that's a whole waste of effort. He was born here.
He may
born
be from here. Worcester. But
him and Elgar.
Anyway, if you were paying attention there and you happened to count up the Radiohead references, the song titles that were contained therein.
Are we going to include your last one?
Just in the overview.
And overview. So we'll offer a prize to someone. If someone gets the right answer, we'll pick them at random, because I'm sure there'll be lots. You'll have to go back and listen through that again.
You will, but it's worth it. It's worth it.
And then someone will win a prize, maybe a book or a T-shirt. We'll decide on that at a later date.
So they have to be ones that I've deliberately put in, because actually, Rose, you pointed out that is the name of a Radiohead song, and I think that's a little bit random. So everything I put in has been deliberate.
I think
I don't think I did.
Anyway,
yeah, I have to go and count them myself.
All good fun. Very well done, Orla.
Thank you.
Excellent. You've really set yourself a high bar here for the rest of the
But
week.
I doubt it. I thought I did that yesterday and totally messed up. So we'll not get too confident.
I'm looking forward to working the word Nimrod in a later stage.
That'll be stage four. Oh, no. I've got a wet. I've got a much better one for stage four. I shall save that one.
Okay. As to the race itself, as you said, it was fascinating to see that moment on the high street here when the race was really opening up, and there were two Wild Deals riders off the front in that group of four. Which kind of ruined the group's chances, because Nivia Doma was there, Elisa Longo Borghini were there, and they weren't going to commit to that group with Danny Rowe and Mariana Voss there. So it all kind of came back together. It sounds like Longo Borghini was very aggressive today. She's obviously coming into better form than we've seen her in so far this season. And Corn Rivera as well has a kind of a quietish season for her compared to last year, certainly. And seems to be riding into form. You spoke to her at the finish, Rose.
I did, yeah. And she spoke a bit about her kind of early season as well. So
let's hear first from Corn Rivera, and then we'll hear from Mariana Voss. Now, Voss was, for a rider who's won everything, she was absolutely devastated to not win. And I kind of shimmied alongside her just beyond the finish line and said, Mariana, quick word. I mean, she sprinted away from me. If she sprinted like that for the stage win, I think she'd have got it.
Well, this is the key. You should be lurking.
I should be lurking.
You should chase that.
Chase the last 100
meters. To go.
Yeah.
Just boom, jumping out.
Boom, boom.
Jumping out with my recorder. Anyway, she sprinted away, you know, clearly, and she was sort of, you know, shaking her head and banging her handlebars. She then stopped just before the team bus and sat down beside the bins and was very upset. She was crying. She was really, really upset. She calmed down, got on the turbo trainer, and I grabbed a quick word with her. And in the middle of that chat, you'll hear Danny Rowe came back to the bus and they exchanged a few words. But we'll hear from Mariana Voss. We'll hear from Corn Rivera first and then Voss.
Corinne, well, how does that feel?
Oh, sorry. Ooh, really good. That was a hard day. And the girls did a lot of work for me today, so I'm really proud that I could pull off the win for them because that was a tough one today.
And does it feel like you're coming into form now? You know, it's a tough start to the season for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the spring was pretty cold for me. I struggled with that a lot. Got sick after Flanders. So, yeah, the spring happened so fast, you kind of have to get a lot of momentum going into it. And I just had a bit of bad luck this season. So that's just how it is. And then I took a nice break at home in California and then started off the summer with California. And then, now I'm deep in the summer stage racing in Europe now.
And does it feel like there's a lot of more opportunities to come on this stage, on this race for you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's three more days to go. It's just the start of it. So, looking forward to the rest of the week.
And getting the sprints jersey as well at the same time. That's an added bonus, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I'm in GC as well. So, yeah, stoked on it. It's only the second day, so still anything can happen. But, we're off to a good start.
You were not too happy after the finish there, were you?
Well, yeah, it was close, of course. It was a hard finish with the uphill, and I've been brought in position by Danny King, Rowe, I mean, very well. And I just couldn't hold it to the line, and Corinne was faster.
It was very close.
Yeah. It's a beautiful sprint finish, so it's good.
First time through here, you were in that little four rider split, Danny as well. So, as a team, you seem to ride pretty well today.
Yeah. Danny's strong, and it's cool to be such a strong team here. Also, Sabrina did a good job on the climb, and Paul the others to control. And then, of course, it's cool to be there in the final and to try to do it together.
I mean, Maren, you're just coming back from a broken collarbone. You must be pleased with how your form is.
Yeah, actually I am. I felt good the moment I crashed. It was a pity not to be able to race for a while. But I had a good training camp, and yeah, it's always it's nice to be back here in the women's tour. And of course, I wanted to do good. I didn't know how I felt, but I'm pleased with my shape in general now.
Some days left for you and Danny to do some damage in this race.
Yeah, it's going to be more hard the next day, so it's just started.
So we heard from Con Rivera, the stage winner, and the rider who just finished just behind her, Marina Voss. It wasn't quite a photo finish, but it was very, very close on the line. And, you know, Rivera is a rider who could perhaps win this race. This was perhaps a decisive day. I spoke at the finish to her Sunweb teammate, Lucinda Brand, who said that they'd identified today and Sunday as being quite important days. Today one certainly that suits Rivera, but she hinted that, or she said really, that Rivera is the team leader, despite them having a strong team with riders who would be capable of perhaps winning here. It seems that Rivera is the team leader, and in a race like this, where it is likely to be very close, you know, being in the position that she's in now is vital. And you know, she has a strong team who are capable of defending that jersey, and if she doesn't slip up, she could be a rider that wins this race.
It was interesting in the post-race press conference as well. She was asked what kind of a rider she was, because she's often seen as a sprinter, and yet people seem to be surprised whenever she can get over climbs with a half-decent group. And she was saying she sees herself simply as a bike racer, not a sprinter necessarily, saying that she's small enough, light enough that she can get over the climbs. She says she's got a bit of a pop at the end. She's got more than a bit of a pop, but she's maybe more of an all-rounder than possibly we give her credit for. I mean, it doesn't seem like she's massively confident for the GC. She says she doesn't really see herself as a GC rider overall, but she's taking this race day by day, and of course, anything can happen. But she does say she'll take the bull by the horns. We know she can be a really aggressive rider on her day, so she could definitely be in contention.
But the other rider who was very impressive today was Danny Rowe. And, you know, she's part of a strong team as well. And we spoke to her at the press conference, but you spoke to her at the finish.
I did,
Rose.
Straight after she got over the finish line. And it's interesting because she's 15 seconds behind Con Rivera. But if you remember that also Rivera got 10 seconds for finishing first, and Danny finished fourth, and so missed
out on
any.
She was fourth on the stage.
Yeah, I mean, she was.
Given that she was, you know, setting up Voss at that point, that was pretty impressive.
Yeah, so if you think about the fact that she would have been, had Corinne not one, then they, you know, she would have only been 5 seconds behind her.
And she did incredibly well in the intermediate sprints, yeah, and picking up the time bonuses there, isn't
then
she?
It makes you think that while it's still very tight, those time bonuses are absolutely key. And and it's clear that the people that want that GC jersey are involved in all of those sprints. I mean, admittedly, some of the sprints were kind of very close to the climbs as well. So if you want to be positioned for the finish, then you can also be getting a lot of bonus seconds at the sprints. But it's clear that that's absolutely key. And that's kind of, and Danny spoke to me, Danny King or Danny Rowe, whichever you want to call her, spoke to me at the finish about, you know, how that plan is working out for her.
Danny, did your tactics pay off today, getting close to that jersey?
Yeah, it was nearly perfect. I was actually leading Mariana out at the end. She was fourth, she was second. I was fourth, so it was nearly perfect. I won 2 out of the 3. Bonus sprints, it's always the plan to forget about the first one, really commit to the second one, and then see where I was over the climb and the third one. I really didn't know. I knew I'm in quite good form, but this is such a world-class field that I didn't know how much form I've got. So yeah, obviously after the first climb, it's feeling really good, and then Marianne did a really, really good lead out for me to pick up those points. And it was a super aggressive lap, the last like 30k. And the team were absolutely phenomenal in leading me into the bottom of the climbs in perfect position. Honestly, like, the team, yeah, it makes me really proud to be in this team. I've never been in a team where everyone just commits to each other. And it's such a nice feeling. And yeah, it's probably my best result on the road so far, potentially. So yeah, I think it bodes well for the rest of the week. I've got a lot of morale, and I can't wait for the next 3 stages.
Hi, my name is Hannah Barnes. I'm a professional cyclist on Canyonshire Racing Team, and I support Skoda's campaign to close the gender gap in cycling. One race, one cyclist at a time. This is our time. So my cycling heroines are the Afghan cycling team. They're based in Kabul, and I've just finished the Kite Runner book about true story of Kabul and how they kind of had to flee there. And yeah, they're having to go through a lot of challenges to do what they want to do and what they love. It's not the culture there, so they have a lot of boundaries. And I think for them to risk pretty much risk their lives to cycle is really, yeah, something quite inspiring.
Yes, thank you very much indeed to Skoda, as we determined last night was the correct pronunciation. I actually checked that today with Tim Harris, who is driving the chief commissaire's car here. Tim has worked with Skoda for many years at the Tour de France. He drives guests at the Tour, and he knows the sort of the Hygieians at Skoda very well. So he told me that it's
the
Skoda. The Hygieians.
Hygieians.
Yes,
that's Scottish.
Oh. Hygieians. Anyway.
But he said it is Skoda.
It's a Czech expression.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Is it Skoda then?
It's Skoda, but I think we can call it Skoda. It's okay. Skoda are backing the cycling podcast Femina to really promote their campaign for to strive for gender equality in cycling. That's the message that we just heard from Hannah Barnes there. A campaign that we obviously support, but they're using the podcast to try and help promote that campaign, which is great, and we're very grateful to them for their support. But we should mention the nice car that they've given us as well.
It's very nice.
It's a Skoda Karoq. It's a compact SUV, and it's very nice. I mean, being driven in it by a qualified racing driver,
oh yes,
like Carla, is quite a privilege.
Well, you criticised me yesterday for straddling lanes slightly.
I just assume that's what racing drivers do.
But it is.
Taking the racing line.
But I will say,
the thing is, though, I often do take the racing line. I often have to drive into work at 4 a.m. and there's no other traffic. And so I often will take the racing line, and I'm a bit conscious. I'm not sure if you're not supposed to, really. Am I flouting the law? Anyway.
If you're listening, Skoda,
Oh, no. I'm a very, very safe driver.
Very safe, very safe.
I'm very safe. But I like to take a bit of a racing line. You look ahead to the last bend that you can see and you aim towards that.
And then a handbrake turn into a parking
space. No. I've never seen Lewis Hamilton do a handbrake turn into the finish line.
It's,
and that's who I like to model my driving on, obviously.
I mean, it wasn't just back on that. It wasn't a criticism. It was an observation or a lot. We mentioned earlier that Abby Van Twisk obviously was really battered and bruised and cut up this morning when she started. She had bandages everywhere on her chin, her hand, her legs. She was in a right state. And we got it wrong last night. It wasn't entirely our fault, but we thought that she was out of the race because she was taken away in an ambulance. We were also led to believe that she had been concussed. And had she been concussed, she wouldn't have been able to start today. Bob Varney got that wrong. He hadn't at that point seen her or examined her, and according to the doctors on the race, she wasn't concussed. We'll hear from the race doctor in a moment or two, actually, on that. But what surprised me about it was that she didn't cross the line. And this, we've been looking up the UCI rules on this today. It certainly used to be the case that if you didn't cross the line with your bike, you were out of the race. And there was a famous case with Jamaluddin Abdujaparov, the Uzbek sprinter in the 1990s. I can't remember actually what year it was, but he had a terrible crash on the Champs-Élysées, hit one of the Coca-Cola bollards at the side, and sort of he looked like he'd fallen out of an airplane. He was just sprawled across the tarmac, and he had the green jersey, and in order to keep the green jersey, he had to be nursed across the line with his bike, which was kind of crazy because he needed medical attention. And as soon as he crossed the line, he was scooped up and put in an ambulance and taken away. That was certainly the rule for a long time, but I think it must have changed because she did not cross the line.
Yeah, she confirmed to me, because I asked her that presumably if she's on the start line that she got back on her bike again, but she confirmed she left in an ambulance. And so we were looking up the rules. This is a rule from 2018, but certainly going back through the UCI rules, it's definitely been this since at least 2014. So I'm not sure when it changed. But it's a little bit open to interpretation, as all well-crafted rules are. But the rules as they stand are that if, as a result of a duly noted fall in the last 3 kilometres, a rider cannot cross the finishing line, he shall be placed last in the stage and credited with the time of the rider or riders in whose company he was riding at the time of the fall. So it doesn't stipulate that you have to get back on your bike, and that leaves it open to the interpretation that actually you're allowed to continue the race if you can't get back on your bike again. But we all actually thought that it was the old rule that still stood. But yeah, obviously
not. You learn something new every day. I think it's kind of a sensible rule, actually, because if somebody does need urgent medical attention but also wants to keep open the possibility of carrying on the race, you know, getting up and struggling across the line for 3 kilometres potentially is not advisable. So common sense seems to prevail there. But nevertheless, I think we were surprised to see Abby at the start today. She was as cheerful as she usually is. You spoke to her at the start Orland. We then saw her struggling through Daventry, you know, off the back, in the cars at that point, and one hand off the bar. She didn't seem to be able to hold the bars. So how she even got that far, I do not know. But you spoke to her at the start. Let's hear from her at the start. Then we'll hear from her at the finish. She didn't finish, so she's now out of the race. And then we'll hear from Dr. Matt Gray, who is the race doctor and who examined her and gave her the all clear to start today.
Abby, it's great to see you at the start line today and up and about even. It looked bad yesterday. How do you feel today?
Yeah, I feel a bit sore when I woke up, like being hit by a bus. But yeah, it's mostly superficial, so that's good. Got an all clear from the doctor about my head. So yeah, just desperate to start, really.
What was the crash like? What do you remember of it and what happened?
It was like just under the 1k to go banner, and it was quite hectic because everyone's fighting for position, and I was just trying to get on the back of a train because like of one of the stronger teams, and I think a lead out girl, from what I remember, swung to the right and then just hit my wheel and went into like the curb or a low tree or something, but I can't remember that much.
Because I spoke to Cassie and Evia Doma afterwards and she thought you maybe hit a pothole, but that's not necessarily what you think, is it?
No, I don't think. I think it was another rider, like a squeeze kind of thing, like between the curb and another rider. But yeah, there might have been a pothole involved, but yeah, I'm not really sure.
And there was confusion as to whether you lost consciousness or not. What's the thinking on that now?
I think the guy who got to me at first, because I did see it on the TV as well, and I was starfished. And I was like, wow, I see why people are a bit worried. But yeah, I think because how I acted after, I didn't. They think now that I didn't lose any consciousness. And my helmet was just a bit scuffed, not whacked or anything, so my head's fine.
So you must have, given that you're starting here today, you must have managed to get back on your bike and finish the stage then, did you?
No, well, it was within the last 3K, and so I got in the ambulance, and the organisers said it would be fine for me to start, because, yeah, but I didn't actually cross the line on my bike.
It must have been quite a difficult night of recovery, though, to spend a lot of that in hospital. How was it?
Yeah, I got out of hospital got back to the hotel at like 9, but I was just waiting for an x-ray on my hand, and then got back 8 and went to bed, stuck to the sheets a bit.
So just for the benefit of our listeners, I'm just going to describe, you've got a plaster on your chin, a bandage on your arm, another bandage on your left knee. I can see some sort of grazing above that bandage as well. And one on your shoulder. What's the worst that you're feeling this morning out of all of that?
I would say probably my hand, because I had a previous injury to that a month ago. And when I got up, I was like, oh my God, let me check my hand. And it's a bit lumpy, but it's not the end of the world. And also my chin's dripping a bit, which is a bit gross, but it's all good.
So what's the plan for today? I mean, I presume it's to stay safe, do your bit for the team and stay out of trouble. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, pretty much. Just good to be able to start and then, stay out of trouble. Help as much as I can, but mostly today just get round and try and work on the next few days and the weekend ahead. So yeah.
Abby, you were really determined. We saw you all bandaged up at the start, but how was it once you got into the race?
Yeah, it was all right for the first about 50k, and then once we started to hit like the lumps, like the hills, it was more going down, like my whole arm and hand were just so painful. And then started to, like, everything was so sore. And going up the second quam, I just thought, enough is enough, and you've got to take a view sometimes.
Well, we saw you coming through here the first time, and it looked like you were really struggling to hold the bars.
Yeah, on my left side, because I had an operation on my hand like a month ago, and that's the one I hit yesterday. And I just can't hold the bars, can't grip them, so yeah, it was very painful. But
you're disappointed, but I guess you really had no choice.
Yeah, it is disappointing though, because worked towards this race for a little while, but you can't really help it, can you?
But you're in contention for the Giro team, Bob was telling us. That I guess that will become your goal now.
Yeah, we'll see.
See how you recover.
Yeah.
Get well soon.
Thank you.
Preston Abbey yesterday, obviously. And what is what is the sort of protocol around when a rider is injured like that? Did you check her out yesterday? Concussion is the big thing that everybody's talking about in sport,
yeah,
obviously.
So obviously it's top of our list, really, making sure the riders are safe. Our priority is for their safety, the safety of the other riders. So if we feel a rider has suffered a significant injury, we need to make sure they're safe. We need to make sure they're not going to put anybody else at risk. So when we saw Abby, first of all, she jumped up pretty much straight away. Although it looked like she was flat on the floor, she told us afterwards that she was just, could hear all the cars coming past and she was just trying to keep flat on the floor. She jumped up. We gave her a full assessment afterwards in the ambulance, dressed her wounds. And obviously she didn't cross the finish line, but... she went off to hospital, had a look at her, make sure nothing was fractured and no bones broken and stuff like that. But she was fine. She came back this morning, wanted to ride very bravely. So we gave her the all clear, assessed her again this morning. No signs of concussion overnight or anything like that. So we were happy from a head injury point of view. She was going to be safe. She felt she could grip the bars at the start of the day. That was the other concern. Can she hold on, especially with the winds the way they were today? But she was pretty happy to give it a go, and I think she did really well considering, you know, maybe she did as well as she did. So so you know, we've got to ensure that things are safe, and I think we were happy with her. So yeah,
I guess the riders are their own worst enemy sometimes. They want to carry on, don't they?
All costs, yeah, they do. They want to get to the end of the race, especially a big race like this. Is her, you know, it's her home biggest event in the world for her, and so yeah, getting to the end of it's priority for her. But I think she's a sensible girl, and she knew that, you know, she couldn't carry on. It was too uncomfortable for her. So.
In the event of concussion, I guess the protocol is that you take the rider out of the race.
Yeah, and we're getting more and more support from the teams now. Initially, when the tour started, we were met with a little bit of resistance, because obviously the teams want their riders to carry on. But they're getting to know us a bit more. We're getting more support. We're getting asked, particularly people like Bob, were saying to us, you know, is it safe to carry on? Are you worried about concussion? And we're saying yes or no, and they're taking our word for it. So yeah, the word's getting through. It's not something that, you know, we can take lightly. And in fact, you know, concussion has now become changed name now to traumatic brain injury. So I think it makes people think a bit more, God, yeah, it's actually serious. We've got high alert for that. But it's difficult. It's not like a rugby pitch where you can take somebody off for 20 minutes, assess them fully, put them back on again. If you take somebody off for 20 minutes, the race is over. So we've got to be sensible about it. But things, obvious things like cracked helmets at the site of the accident, that's it. As far as I'm concerned, that's a serious head injury, and they have to be taken out of the race.
The Cycling Podcast is supported by Science in Sport. Science in Sport, fueled by science.
Thank you very much to Science in Sport for their support of the Cycling Podcast Femina. A reminder, you can get 30% off during the Women's Tour, 30% off all Science in Sport products with the code WOMENSTOUR30 at scienceandsport.com. Not just for women.
Or ladies, men mercifully.
As well. For all genders.
All class.
And while we're talking about Science and Sport, they have arranged for us to meet up with the Canyon SRAM riders on Friday evening. We're actually sharing a hotel with them. We're going to interview all six riders from Canyon SRAM. And we're going to put some questions to them about nutrition from you, the listener. So if you have a question about nutrition, it can be your own nutrition, it can be about what the pros do. Send us your questions. We'll put them to the riders. If you've got a particular rider you want the question addressed to, then is that the police? Come for me. Have I pronounced
pronunciation police?
Is that Rob Hatch again? Yeah.
He's hiding again.
I'm always looking over my shoulder for Rob Hatch. Anyway, put your questions for the Canyon SRAM riders to us. You can email us contact@thecyclingpodcast.com, or you can leave a WhatsApp message, a wee voice memo, and then they can hear your voice and respond to whatever you say. The number is +447971338205. That's +447971338205. And you know, leave one of these voice. What are you laughing at, Rose?
Did you say the same number both times?
Yeah, you're just getting progressively less confident about the number you're reading out.
My eyesight's going.
I think you said 2-1 the first time, did he? Maybe I'm not listening.
Maybe I
zoned out.
Let me say it again. +447971338205. There we go.
There we go.
Call that. Leave a voice memo, and if you want to ask another question, go for it. You know, ask
anything of any of us about anything.
But don't tell Science and Sport that, because they've set this up for us to specifically ask them about sports nutrition. So send us your questions.
Don't tell Science and Sport.
Send us your questions.
Very cunning, Richard.
Yeah, clever, eh? Clever. I just got around that. Now, in we were talking earlier on about the challenge of covering this race without the TV coverage piece. It's kind of old school. We're piecing together, and a lot of the things happen that spread almost like you know, like Chinese whispers. Elisa Longo Borghini attacked on Newnham Hill. Mm-hmm. Did she attack going over the top or on the descent? There were different, because different riders obviously see different, have different views of the race, and it's an interesting and quite fun challenge in a way. It's a bit like, but there are parts of it where it's almost like if a tree falls in the woods and nobody's around, did it actually happen? Well, we'll know when we see the highlights tonight, I suppose. But Orla, you spoke this morning to Danny Stamm, of the man who runs Bulls Dolmans, sports director at Bulls Dolmans, because they are traditionally one of the strongest teams in the race, and they have come here without their main rider, Anna van der Breggen. You asked him about that, and you asked him about their strategy, I think, didn't you?
Yeah, because as you say, I mean, a super strong team as ever. They've got the current world champion in Chantal Black, previous world champion in Amelie Didriksen. They've got Christine Madjeris, who has been in the Queen of the Mountain. She's still, isn't she? Amy Peters, who was in the points jersey.
Rose is shaking her head at that.
Queen of the Mountain.
Is it Nialisa Longo Borghini? It is, isn't it? I just read that
live,
out.
Live corrections corner.
Yes. Madjeris is second in Queen of the Mountains at the minute. But they went into the stage with two of the jerseys on their backs. And so, yeah, I asked Danny what their strategy was, really, who they would have as their protected rider going forward. And the reason for Anna van der Breggen not being here, because we only managed to speak to Ashley Milman-Passio, of the top four riders in the world who didn't make it to the start line. And we assumed that maybe her reasoning was possibly the standard reason across the board for not turning up, and her saying that it just wasn't a tough enough course for her, that she almost broke herself last year ahead of the Giro, and so she wasn't able to be as competitive at the Giro as she would have liked to have been, and so she's prioritised that this year. So I asked Danny if that was the same reason for Anna van der Breggen not taking to the start line, but absolutely not, a very different reason, and one that I thought was very interesting. Have a listen.
So Danny, we're at the start of stage two. We've got Christine and Amy in their respective jerseys. That must be a good result for you going into the start of the stage today.
Yeah, yesterday we looked at our goals and we were thinking, okay, it's going to be a pretty easy day. So we looked some goals to be busy, and then we said, okay, the mountain and the bony sprints, it's something to keep us busy today. And it worked out pretty well.
One noticeable absentee from your team at this race, Anna van der Breggen. How does that change the team tactics, the dynamics, and who you're going for, what you're going for at the race?
I think this is a pretty difficult race, to be honest. We race a lot without Anna van der Breggen, that's first. So we have different options to play some games. But yeah, I must say the women's tour is a pretty difficult race to control, to find the key points where you can make the difference. And I think you just have to be patient and wait for the moment it's there.
So Danny, I mentioned Anna not being here at the race. Ashley Milman-Passio had said that the race wasn't tough enough, that's why she's not here, but I understand that's not the reason that Anna's not taking part.
No, definitely not. I mean, it's a beautiful race, and it's just the time of the race when it is actually Anna really focused for the spring races, and she continued till half of May, and for her it's now time to have a break and a proper training again direction the rest of the season.
And no Giro for her either, I understand.
No, we also skipped the Giro, and she's going to do some mountain bike races, probably to have a clear mind going into August and September. And then the biggest goal is the World Championship.
A community around the world. Stories and films with the most compelling characters. The world's finest apparel. Explore the world of cycling with Rafa.
Thank you very much indeed to Rafa, our longtime headline sponsor at the Cycling Podcast Femina and the Cycling Podcast. Very grateful to them for their support and also for their t-shirts. This morning I went to find Suzanne Anderson of the High Tech team, who was the only rider to get any kind of gap on stage one, and we deemed her worthy of Pédaleuse de Charme. So I gave her a t-shirt. She was delighted. She got a round of applause from her, the various staff,
really,
and other riders at the team, and it was a beautifully ironed t-shirt, wasn't it, Orla?
I seem to recall that when you gave it to her and I was taking the picture, you said, Suzanne, could you just stretch that a little bit? Could you stretch it to get rid of the creases? So the top of it looks half ironed. The bottom of it looks like it's been shoved in a suitcase, which it has been. Yeah. But she was delighted nonetheless. I'm sure she possesses an iron. I'm sure she's all right to go home and flatten it out herself.
I think she was pretty pleased. So today we award another Pedalers de Charme t-shirt. And there are a couple of contenders. Mikey Bogart, who you mentioned earlier, the Dutch rider who was away for a long time on her own. We considered her, but then we don't want to just give it every day to the lone breakaway. We've got to mix it up a bit, haven't we? So who did we think?
Well, we thought, we've already mentioned her again, Abby Van Twisk would be, because she was just, the fact that she even got on the bike, could even look at a bike after what she went through yesterday, I just found absolutely astounding.
And I think also, we heard from her in the last part, you know, she was obviously upset and disappointed at the end, as well as being in a lot of pain. And yet she's still quite happy to stand and explain and chat, which not everybody would be. Mm. So that, again, that's certainly one of the criteria for Pedalers de Charme.
She's the ultimate charming pedalers, I think, in all respects. Just in her disposition, her treatment of people, how she talks to us. I think she's wonderful. She's a little ray of sunshine. She's brilliant.
Well, we're staying in the same hotel as Trek Drops, and I hope she hasn't been whisked away. Abby Van Whisk. back to London already, because
it's quite good, actually.
Because we want to give her a t-shirt tonight. Hopefully we can get there in time to present the t-shirt before she goes. Otherwise, we'll give it to somebody else. We'll give it to Bogart tomorrow.
Yeah.
You spoke to her at the finish. I think she finished about 9 minutes down in the end.
She did. 9 minutes
with
30.
A group.
A big group. Yeah. Big group. But it was a mammoth effort from her. And
bit of a creep to the end. That doesn't count.
Doesn't count. We don't want any complaints on Twitter about miscounts on this Radiohead. Oh!
The Radiohead challenge.
Yeah.
But yeah, Micah was absolutely, she was lovely. Never spoken to her before. She's absolutely ecstatic to be standing, you know, behind the podium getting a combativity award. But she's a, you know, little go-getter, because I know that in Liège-Bastogne-Liège, she went on the attack right at the beginning and stayed out for 20K. And Liège-Bastogne-Liège, when she was only a trainee last year, it's quite remarkable. But yeah, I spoke to her and this is what she had to say.
How was it out there, Micah?
Difficult and hard. But yeah, I was like, I didn't want to wait today. So like after the sprint, the second one, I was quite in the front. So I thought, yeah, well, let's give it a try. So I tried to attack and hoping somebody will come with me, but nobody did. So then I was just like, well, I'll just keep going and see how far we will get. And then it was like a 70k solo, so yeah, it was a hard day and a long one.
Did you ever think that you might make it to the line on your own as well?
Well, I know it was going to be difficult, and I was quite surprised that the car came next to me and said, yeah, you have 4 minutes now. I was like, what, 4 minutes? So yeah, and then after that, yeah, I heard the gap was closing fast, you know, because we were coming to the first mountain sprint. So I knew it was going to be difficult, but yeah, I was just hoping to stay as long as possible in front and then hoping to stay with peloton, so yeah.
And did you manage to enjoy the crowds at all when you're out there on your own?
Yeah, I love the crowds over here, really, like all those kids and everything and all those schools, and I had like a lot of support today, so that was really great. Yeah, I really love it over here to race, so yeah.
And what is life? An hourglass on the run, a mist retreating for the morning sun, a busy, bustling, still repeated dream. Its length, a minute's pause, a moment's thought, and happiness, a bubble on the stream that in the act of seizing shrinks to naught. Just a little thought I had while we were
cheery.
Listening to that.
Yeah. Wow. Orla? That was you okay?
Yeah, uncharacteristically downbeat for me. That was one of the celebrated poems of John Clare.
One of Worcester's finest poets.
Northamptonshire poet John Clare, who actually often wrote in celebration of the English countryside, but he was also a bit of a morose chap, God bless him. He was an alcoholic with mental health issues and ended up in an asylum quite a few times, but kept writing in the asylum. But that was one poem that caught my eye because I just actually really liked it because I think that we're going to do philosophical discussions here. Well, I'm very much of the opinion that life is very fleeting and you have to make the most of every little bit of it. And it is true that it is a moment's pause, a moment's thought. I don't think that happiness is a bubble that just pops as soon as you grab it. I think you have to try to consolidate it. But anyway,
preserve the bubble.
Yeah, just keep blowing them.
Is this Culture Corner? It can be Culture Corner stuff.
Right, well, Shakespeare mentioned Daventry in Henry VI. Not much of a mention in part one, but he mentioned the red-nosed innkeeper of Daintree, as it used to be pronounced, but we haven't found a red-nosed innkeeper as yet.
Or an inn.
Or an inn, that's right. We haven't found an inn, have we? We found a few pubs and that's it. But one other thing that I thought was quite relevant to you, Richard, and I've failed to mention it on time. We were leaving Rushton, as I said it. So our start time this morning was Rushton. Not so much culture, but in terms of industry, one of the traditional industries in Rushton, as well as lace making, farming, was shoemaking. So in the mid-1900s, there were well over, imagine this, 100 boot and shoe factories in Rushton. There are only four left today, but one of them is DB Shoes, which make shoes for the wider feet. So I thought that might be quite useful for you, Richard.
Because I have wide feet.
Well, you told me yesterday you've got wide feet.
Yeah, I do have very wide feet.
You're just looking out for him.
Exactly. Right. I'm just being
feel at home
kind.
Here.
You and your wide feet.
Me and my wide feet are very happy here in Daventry. I don't think I've ever been to this part of the world
before at all.
I was here last year because the women's tour was here last year.
It's nice.
But that's
it's
the
sweet.
Only reason I've been here. So it's nice to be sitting out in a cafe and
it's
enjoying
not, it's
it
It's not
a
quite
bit.
As dramatic as it is as Framlingham and Southwold were yesterday. But it is sweet. We asked a
Does
local...
Does that mean less windy?
We're landlocked here.
Yeah, we are landlocked. So the scenery isn't maybe as rolling.
We're quite close to Cambridge. We came past Cambridge last night. That's nearby. We stayed last night in a lovely hotel, the Three Cranes Hotel in Turvey, which is a beautiful little village.
Topsy-turvy.
Really pretty little
village. Really sweet.
And we were sitting there having dinner and...
We weren't talking to each other. We were watching the race highlights on the laptop.
You were on your phone.
I was on the phone to my husband.
Standard. You drink dinner. Anyway.
Very rude.
We were sitting there and a gentleman entered the bar brandishing a copy of our book, A Journey Through the Cycling Year. And it was a chap, a friend of the podcast called Mark, who had been passing by, lives in the village, and spotted our car. And it's branded with the Cycling Podcast Femina. So he'd gone home, got his book, and come to the hotel to meet us and say hello and leave some money behind the bar for a couple of drinks. Mark, I didn't catch your second name, Mark, but that was very much appreciated.
He approached Richard and said, excuse me, do you mind? The buffalo.
He crept
Richard was very happy.
He brought, the buffalo, is it? I thought I recognised your wide feet. Anyway, I think that's all for tonight, isn't it? We've kind of rambled on long enough.
I think we've covered all bases is how we should describe it.
The race became a bit more exciting today. We started to see some of the top riders emerge. And, you know, what's interesting about this race, I don't think there's a really dominant rider or team. And it's still quite evenly balanced.
It's close.
Poised, isn't it?
Yeah.
So
and tomorrow we should have fairly aggressive riding. It's
here's
an almost
some
carbon
more
copy
entertaining
of
days.
Stage 3 last year.
Yeah, absolutely. We've talked about a lot of the major teams. The one we haven't mentioned, Canyon SRAM. This was a local stage today for the Barnes sisters, Hannah and Alice. I think they were... Well, I spoke to Hannah at the finish. She was a little bit disappointed with how she went today. Said that she kind of performed a supporting role today and she was happy to do so. But I think in different circumstances, she'd have been wanting to be up there and perhaps going for the win. Their best place right now is Pauline Ferrand-Prévot, who looked good and was up there at the finish. So she could emerge as that team's leader. Who knows? We'll see over the next few days. But for the moment, thank you very much, Orla.
Thank you very much, Richard and Rose.
Thank you, Rose.
Thank you both.
A cycling podcast, Femina, in association with Rafa. From grand tours to group rides, the Champs-Élysées to coffee stops, Rafa exists to celebrate the world's most beautiful sport.
You've been listening to the cycling podcast Femina at the OVO Energy Women's Tour. Big thanks to our sponsors, Rafa, Science and Sport and Skoda. The music you've heard in this episode is by Glass Pear and bensound.com. Big thanks to them as well. This episode has been produced by Tom Wally.